Hey, it's Donna Maritz of Socially Sorted, and you're listening to the Jazz Spotlight with Jan Ilunga.
Episode 70.
Welcome to the Jazz Spotlight, the podcast that gives you the insight and tools you need to be in the music industry today. Artists, authors, and top music industry experts give you actionable tips that will help you promote yourself the smart way. Here's your host, Jan Ilunga.
Hey, what's up everyone? Jan Ilunga here, Jazz Spotlight Podcast, episode 70, and man, this one is gonna be a lot of fun. Today we talk about how you can create incredible visual content that you can use to promote your music, to promote your website, and to drive traffic. So to get people, for example, from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, to your website or to our specific webpage you want them to go to. My guest today is the founder of the award-winning blog Socially Sorted, Donna Maritz, who comes on the podcast, and she really tells us not only about different types of images that we can use to drive traffic and engage our fans, but she also really goes into the specifics. She talks about tools that we can use to create cool images, both from our computer as well as on the go. So guys, if you have a smartphone, whether it's an iPhone or an Android, whatever, there are apps that Donna mentions that you can really use to create incredible visual content. Like always, you find the links to everything Donna and I talk about in the show notes at thejazzspotlight.com/episode70. Here is how to create incredible and shareable visual content with Donna Maritz of Socially Sorted. Have fun. Hey everyone, I'm here with a very, very special guest, and I'm so excited about this episode, and I'm sure you're gonna love it, because today we talk about how to create amazing, shareable visual content. And you know, even if you don't consider yourself a creative person, you think you have no artistic touch when it comes to visual content, you are in the right place. My guest today is Donna Maritz of Socially Sorted. She won the Best Australian Blog Award. She recently was one of the winners of the Social Media Examiner blogs, so one of the most important websites when it comes to social media marketing and visual content. And she's here to tell us more about the great things she does and to give out very specific advice and tools that you guys can use to create incredible visual content that your fans would love. It's with great pleasure that I welcome Donna on the podcast. Hey, Donna, how's it going?
Great. Thank you for having me. It's exciting to do this with you because I first met you because you were, I think you were on one of my webinars. Mm-hmm. Where I started to talk to you back and forth around then, and you were one of the most fun people on the webinar. So it was nice to hear you had a podcast.
Thank you. I love the webinar, and actually we're going to talk about more because the webinar was about this topic, so how to create incredible, cool visual content, and I really had a good time. I learned a lot. And before we go more into Socially Sorted and we get our hands dirty, it's pretty interesting because you told me something that I don't think many of your fans and followers know about you, that you actually play drums. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Because I think it's very fun and interesting.
Yeah, it's funny. Like my dad, I guess he always played guitar. I think he was a teacher when he was young, and he worked in Outback Australia, and he learned to play guitar when he was teaching, you know, just for something to entertain himself because he was out on a sheep station, basically. And so he always played guitar. And then when he married Mum, like, I don't think she played guitar straight away, but she did learn eventually. So they were sort of playing a bit together. And then when I was a kid, like, I remember Dad always wanting to teach me guitar, and I was interested, but I never really had the persistence to to keep going with it. I can play a little bit of guitar, not very well. I need to get back into it. But and then I just kept wanting to play the drums for some reason. I don't even know what it was. I just wanted to play drums, and they were like, oh, you know, I was in a country town, and, you know, the drum set's a big investment, and it might, you know, be just a short-lived interest. And so they, I remember they let me have a drum pad to start with. And then they found out, well, they knew one of the local guys in the town was a drummer, and basically what happened is they wanted to start a band. And when they wanted to start a band, they realized that they would need a drummer at some point, or they were thinking that would be good. So they thought, well, let's see if she can learn. And they had a 16-year-old lad playing with them for a while. I thought he was the coolest thing ever because he was like maybe 3 or 4 years older than me. And so what happened is when it was time for me to sort of learn, there wasn't really many places you could go for lessons, but one of the local farmers was a really good drummer. And he said, look, you know, come over. And I just stayed with his family for like, I think it was 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically gave me a whole bunch of lessons in 2 days. And then that was my only lessons I ever had. I just learned to play by ear. And I'm not necessarily an amazing drummer, but when I was a kid, I was considered pretty good because, you know, it was the country and there wasn't a lot of people playing drums. And I was like this 15-year-old girl or 14-year-old girl, which was odd to start with that it was a female playing the drums. So we had a band. The 16-year-old lad moved on and we had a band where I played the drums with my family. And then my brother, you know, so basically my dad played banjo, mandolin, guitar, bass guitar. My mum played bass guitar and guitar. My brother played just about everything really well. We wrote music. He was very talented. And so I always thought he was a better drummer than me. He just picked it up naturally as well. So my son's learning now, but he's learning proper, you know, how to actually read music.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how to do that. So I can only teach him how to play by ear.
Well, but that is, you know, I think that's how many musicians actually still do it. So they don't go like through a form, proper, if we can call it like that, music education, but they learn by ear, definitely.
I think if you can learn, playing by ear is very powerful, especially on guitar or you know, piano. But I think if you can learn both, then it's handy. But he has an electronic drum set, which I always thought was, you know, terrible. No. but I actually was really surprised at how good they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very, very, very impressive compared to when we were kids. So,
Definitely.
That's my music history. Like now I don't really do much at all. I we played in this band for a few years. Like that was my pocket money and we'd play probably about 20 or 30 shows a year and a lot of local shows and 21sts and birthdays and New Year's Eve and all weddings and things like that. So,
okay. So it was a pretty serious thing.
Yeah.
I love it. And obviously people know you because of Socially Sorted. You are like one of the top social media marketing and visual content marketing experts. You are definitely one of my favorite ones. I love Socially Sorted. And can you tell the listeners a little bit more about Socially Sorted if in case they don't know about it?
Cool. Well, it started out as a social media consultancy just in my local area. I've had businesses over the years. I've had a recruitment agency. My husband's got a chiropractic practice. We've had businesses for quite a while. So I've always been involved in marketing on and off in those. And I just kind of fell into social media because I was interested in marketing and people. I was involved in a not-for-profit organization and we were growing quite a big community on Facebook. I was just getting asked by businesses to help them out with their Facebook pages. So I just naturally was starting to do a few small jobs for other businesses and bringing in what I already knew about marketing. Because when I'd ran a recruitment agency, I actually had had experience in you know, marketing without a lot of money or how to, you know, really build relationships with clients and get them to really spread the word for you. That was what I was good at doing. So I was teaching people, you know, just basic Facebook stuff. And then I started a blog because a friend of mine told me to. She won Best Australian Blog in 2011. And she said, you need to start a blog. You know, it's the best way to sort of build your business. And so I did. And while I was still seeing clients and doing the blog, like I started to write a lot about visual social media and how to use visual content because with clients we were using a lot of images to get more reach and exposure, especially on Facebook. Things have changed, but it still works well on Facebook. So we were doing a lot of original quotes and tips and images that were getting shared quite highly, considering that they were for a smaller page with many of my clients. And anything that I produced that had visual content in it, like images, or we started to do some infographics, they were getting shared a lot. And basically I did a guest post for Amy Porterfield in the States, and we put an infographic in it. It blew up, it still gets shared a lot. And from there I started to do a lot more like infographics for clients, but also working with them on visual content strategy. So even though I don't do a lot of client consults anymore, and it's more, I've got an online program and we, you know, the speaking and things like that, I do still do some client consults on Skype and things like that. But it's mainly now about visual social media and content strategy versus just, you know, all over social media. I kind of pivoted my blog when I realized that there was a real need for it. Like, people were interested in Pinterest and Instagram and Facebook, and they were like so excited about using visuals, but nobody was really teaching them how to create the visual content to fill the platform. So I saw a gap where people weren't graphic designers, they didn't necessarily have a lot of money to invest in graphic designers for all of their content. So how could they, you know, sort of get some visual content going without getting everything designed for them? So that's sort of where I've, you know, I sort of teach on strategy for all the platforms, but also how to create the content for the platforms, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. And guys, head over to sociallysorted.com.au. And make sure also to subscribe to Donna's newsletter just so that you get tips in your inbox. And I'm sure you're going to become a wizard when it comes to creating visual content that your fans will love. And Donna, what, like, in your experience, obviously you mentioned, you know, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, you've worked with clients, you definitely are always up to date with the latest trends in what's happening in the social media marketing world. And what type of content you think the listeners can use to engage their fans and maybe also to drive traffic to a specific page, let's say their homepage, for example?
Yeah. Okay, so there's a couple of places you should be driving traffic. One is to a page where they can subscribe, which is usually your homepage. Also, your about page is a great place to have subscription boxes, and also to your blog posts, so your content. I suggest that they can do a number of different types of posts, but the first one I would suggest that they focus on is the ones on their blog or on their website. So to have a good shareable piece of visual content on every important page at least, and especially any blog posts, and usually some sort of cover image, so that if it gets separated out and someone pins it to, say, Pinterest, and someone else clicks on it, they can see, you know, it might be an image of, you know, something to do with that blog post, but then a little title of what the blog post might be. You know, it might be 5 ways to book more gigs or something like that. Mm-hmm. But if you just had an image of a saxophone, it's not going to, no one's really going to understand what that is. They think, well, it's interesting, I'm interested in saxophones, but is it, like, you know, what is it? Whereas if you have a little text overlay, that can really help, so that if they see that image and the little heading, then they say, oh, cool, that's, you know, I'm interested in getting more work, I want to start getting paid for my music, etc. And I click on that and they end up back on your blog post. Another thing that's important is to make sure that when they get there, that there's more content that can be useful to them. So obviously when they get to the blog post, it's useful information or helpful or entertaining or something like that. There's a number of types of images that work well on social platforms to get engagement and also encourage people to click through or share your content. But, you know, mainly you're aiming to drive them back to your website wherever you can. And some of those tend to be tips or just simple quotes. The header images, which I just mentioned, are really good. And just some if you want to invest, I talk about three levels of images. So there's the shareable images, which is sort of like your tips and your quotes and your sort of lightweight kind of get people interested, entertaining kind of images. And then you get into the step-by-step kind of images, which might be like a how-to with photos to show someone how to do something, or it might be a checklist, or it might be sort of a small kind of infographic or something like that. And then you get onto what I call the showpiece pieces of content. So you might invest a bit more time and money into these, and these are like the infographics or slide shares or short video, that sort of thing. So all of those types of content can drive traffic. But I find that if you're going to really want to drive traffic to a blog, you know, if you're really strategically trying to drive traffic, things like infographics and slide shares and checklists can be great. So say, just as an example, I mean, obviously I'm not a practicing musician, but I might do something like simple, like, you know, I don't know, a checklist for a gig, like what do you need to do before and after, or when you're booking a gig, or when you're, things to give your roadies to do. I don't know, there's all sorts of things you can have on a checklist, but whatever in your industry or as a musician that you think would be useful to other people, that they could, you know, put that information together themselves, but they're not going to, because we tend to be pretty lazy. So you can wrap it up in some sort of checklist or how-to image can be really helpful. It might be something like, you know, maybe you teach people how to play guitar, or maybe, you know, there's a lot of different things that you can do. But putting those on an image that is going to catch people's attention, give them a little bit of information, but maybe not quite enough. They want more. So when they click through, they're coming to your article or your podcast or your video or whatever it is on your website that will give them more. And then that's when you win them over. That's what I tend to do with I always think of my images as being a doorway. So when they click on it, where are they going? You know, are they just, at the very least, you might just want them to like and share it, or to, you know, have some engagement just to get your engagement up on a particular platform. But at the most, you want them to click through to your home base and to your website.
Okay, so basically, to make sure that even if the image is taken out of context, it's still like the viewer, yeah, or the fan still understands kind of what the image is about. So you made a great example of the saxophone, that you said if you guys have a picture of a saxophone without any copy, the person that might see the picture on Pinterest, for example, won't actually know what it's about. So I like, and I also like that you gave some great tips, some examples. So you talked about, for example, quotes about short lists of how to, or like the, you know, five things to do before a gig. I really like it. And you really gave out some great tips in terms of what type of content artists can use to engage their fans on social media and drive traffic, let's say, to their homepage. And what about the tools? I know that on Socially Sorted, you really talk about tools and the importance of tools that really help also kind of non-creative people, yeah, easily create incredibly cool visual content. So do you have some suggestions in terms of web-based apps and maybe also some mobile apps that you use to create content pretty quickly?
Sure. There's a couple of, it's actually funny, my latest article on my blog was, and if they, I can give you the link to it, but it's a good one for people to see, because it's actually one that I had a lot of visual social media experts contribute to, and it's called 36 Visual Content Creation Tools the Pros Can't Live Without. my favorite ones are on there, and we actually wrapped up the top five into a little cheat sheet, but I'll give you the cheat sheet version, because it's pretty much my favorite tools, but they can definitely still download it if they want to. So that article covers a lot of great tools, and some of them I hadn't used before, but the top ones that for people that are not designers would be, for web-based tools, my top pick would be Canva, canva.com. It's an Australian company. They've got over 1 million users now. And it's a bit like Photoshop for people that just can't get Photoshop or they're not designers. So it's very drag and drop. You can use, they've got hundreds, thousands of templates. So you can go in, you can pick if you want to do a PDF or a Facebook post or an Instagram post or a Pinterest size image, whatever it is, you pick that, and then all these different templates and ideas will come up, and they're already designed. So you can either do exactly what they've got there and just change the text, or you can change the background image, or you can change both, or you can change the colors. And even if you just use the templates, you've still got a somewhat original image. But there's lots of ways you can then do custom design with them. And the thing that I recommend, and a lot of people don't realize this, is Canva has a blog called Design School.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a merge now of their blog which has got great articles, and also a thing called their tutorials. And they have about 30 tutorials, and each one takes about 5 minutes. You go in, and instead of just watching a video where you're not really doing it, and then you go, oh, how do I do that? You actually, when you click on the tutorial, it opens up Canva. So as long as you've got an account, it will open up Canva, and you're in Canva doing the tutorial, and it will say, do this, do this, do this. And you're basically clicking and moving things around and learning how to, you know, put a background, make things transparent, move text around, make it more white space. So basic design strategies that people would never really learn if they didn't do these, you know, they're things that often the pros use, but they're so simple once you have a go at it. So you can just use the templates, or you can use their design tutorials to really learn how to really get a lot out of that tool. And both is great. The other one that I like is PicMonkey, PicMonkey.com, PicMonkey. It's an image editing tool, but they also have great features that you can use to create images. So they have lots of icons and illustrations and themes in there. Like they have a superhero theme and Halloween and all of those things. So you can really play around with it and do some cool things in there too. You can't save your designs in PicMonkey like you can in Canva, but it's still really worthwhile using. Just have to make sure that you're happy with your design when you finished it. So they're my two desktop ones, I think. The other thing that I use often is just some sort of screen capture tool. So on my Mac, I would go Command Shift 4, and you can just capture something on your screen. So sometimes if you're showing something, you know, say you're teaching guitar and you've got a video and you want to just capture something like a close-up or how to hold the guitar, or even, you know, you can just do a screen capture of it, and you can use that as an image and put some text on it or whatever. So that's another little tool I use, where you can use ones like what are they called? There's a couple. There's Sketch from Evernote and
– Ah, yeah, true.
Oh, gosh, I've had a mental blank. Snagit is the other one.
Oh, so yeah, okay. I know both of them.
They're
yeah,
they're the more – they've got text and sort of, you know, arrows and all that sort of thing, and they do video as well. So when you get to the apps, there's a few apps that I love. One that I love for just, you know, if you're in line from an appointment or a meeting and you're waiting and you think, oh, that's a really cool quote. You just came up with some sort of quote about music or tip or something. Is Word Swag, word as in word, and then SWAG, wordswag.co, that is. And that's got a little typography tool inside the app. So basically they've put in all these predetermined layouts, and so you just type in your text, pick the design you want, and then you can rotate through a whole number of designs to get the right look that you want. And it all looks like a designer's been doing it. It's very, very well designed, and they're really funky. So you can do some cool designs with that. And WordSwag now have an image library with almost 300,000 images in there, and they do that through Pixabay, which means you can choose an image, put an overlay on it, make an image, save it, post it to Facebook or Instagram, and you don't have to, you know, it's free. They're covered for commercial use as well. So you can actually even add your logo as well. So that's a really good app now. And the other one is Over, O-V-E-R. Unfortunately, WordSwag's not on Android yet, but Over is, and that would be my choice for people that are on Android. So it's over.com. Oh, actually, no, it's madewithover.com. But it's just O-V-E-R on the iTunes store and on the Google Play. They also have another one called Quick, Q-U-I-C-K, and it is like the sort of the lightweight version of Over, and that can be really handy for doing images on the run as well. Let me think what the other ones I like are. They're probably my main ones. The other one that came up as a popular one out of all the ones that the pros did was just trying to think. It's a camera tool, VSCO Cam, I think it is, VSCO Cam. And it's like a tool you can use to take your photos, and you can do a lot of really cool, funky things with that as well. So it's a good some people like Camera Plus, but that's another one that you can use.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're the main ones that I would mention. I actually also really often mention Instagram, to be honest, because even though it is a social platform, it's also an image editing tool. So for musicians, Instagram is great because the whole purpose of Instagram is taking us behind the scenes, and people love to not hear about business but the people behind the business. So in the music industry, it's perfect because they want to know who you are and who you really are and what do you do when you're not, when you are playing music, but also when you're not playing music. So, and obviously with Instagram, capturing music, capturing photos of gigs or just practicing at home or, you know, little short videos of some of your music is a great way to go. You know, people like to just listen to short videos, so that's a good one to use as well. So they're probably my top picks. I usually don't give too many out at once because people get overwhelmed. And that's why when I did this article, we then just summarized it into the top five. And funnily enough, they were the ones that I use a lot anyway. So it just goes to show that they're the good ones.
Okay, we have a lot on our plate, guys. Like always, you'll find the links to all the tools and apps Donna mentioned, as well as the blog post she mentioned, in the show notes. So in case you missed something, don't worry, you don't need to rewind. You'll find everything there in the show notes. And you mentioned Warswag and Over and, well, obviously also Instagram. And guys, maybe you remember that we talked about Instagram and about those tools also in episode 51 with Subi Zibaran, where we talked about Instagram. So if you guys want to learn more about Instagram and those tools and how you can use them in relation to Instagram, episode 51 with Subi Zimmerman. Okay, Donna, I like it. You've given out so much value. You talked about the type of content we can use to engage the fan base. You mentioned your favorite tools to create great content, both from your computer and on the go. And what about video? Because video is becoming more and more popular. Yeah. And I know that you've written a cool blog post and very useful about how to create kind of videos like a pro using mobile apps.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. No. Well, first of all, you know, I would reiterate what you were saying. You know, your listeners, should I say, not readers, readers and listeners, should definitely listen to the interview with Sue B. Zimmerman. She's a friend of mine, and she's my person that I go to for Instagram updates. So she's the person to go to. So Sue would agree with me that video is very important on Instagram as well. Like, you don't need to do it in every post, but it's perfect for musicians. You know, like, you can just either just turn the camera on yourself and just give a little update on what you're up to, or definitely playing live music is a great way to go. Maybe you're figuring out a new song or something like that. You know, sometimes some of that behind the scenes process can be really good. So as far as the tools, there's just some awesome tools. Like, we didn't have these tools 2 years ago. So it's just some people, you know, people that want to be creative with this sort of content, you know, they're very excited about it. So I guess the first thing was, the one that I really like is to start with, just to get started, is just to use the Instagram app, because you can take video in short segments for up to 15 seconds. So just dip your toe in the water and just do some short videos. And the way the Instagram app works is that you just press it, you take some video, you stop, then you press it, you take some video again, or you can just take one long piece of video. But when you do stop and start in between it, it gives that really cool editing feature, so it looks like you've edited it when in fact you've just pressed a button five times. So from there, I would then move on to using something like video Hyperlapse, which is a tool in Instagram, where it's a separate app, but it's part of Instagram. And this is cool for doing like behind the scenes, or like, say you were setting up for a show, you could do like set up on a tripod just with your iPhone and just take video of everyone setting up their gear. I mean, it takes ages to set up drum sets and whatever else, you know, you could just for that fascination factor, like, this is just a sped up version of what we do, how this works. Or you could do a behind the scenes of something, or you can do, like, it's good for showing sort of some sort of unboxing of something, like any new products, or say you just bought a new instrument and you've just got it home, you could, you know, show that on video. So that's a cool app that will allow you to sort of speed up your video. So say you take a minute's worth of video, you can speed it up. So it takes 15 seconds, you can put it on Instagram, or you can show it on Facebook. And just before I tell you about another couple of tools, on Facebook, it's worth noting that they are really going after video at the moment. And I know you've probably noticed that when you put a video on Facebook, it will get shown more to your fans if it's uploaded straight to Facebook than if you link through from YouTube. So Facebook are wanting to be known for video. They are promoting video that's uploaded directly to Facebook. And Gary Vaynerchuk, who's a well-known marketer, he said recently that he gets 20 to 30,000 more views
Whoa.
If he uploads directly to Facebook. Now, obviously, he gets like 20 to 30,000 is a lot. You know, we'd just be happy with that. But that's a lot for him. It's enough for him to upload all videos straight to Facebook. There's a couple more you can really play with, and they're all on this article, is VideoHance, which is this cool little tool that's made by the same people that made WordSwag. So immediately I knew it was going to be good. And it basically allows you to take some video and then edit it in real time. So you can add like those cool, funky light leaks where the light's shining off things and special frames and add music and text and things like that, all straight onto your iPhone. Which is good for musicians because often you're on the go and, you know, especially if you're doing it professionally, you're probably, you know, you're in different places and, you know, are out and about on the weekend, so it can be a good way to do it. Adobe Voice might be worth considering. It's an iPad app and it allows you to basically press a button and record your voice and tell a story, and then you can add in video or images and text. But it's got this feature in it that's a bit like maybe making you sound like a podcast or a radio announcer. It adds this really cool voice effect. It sounds very sexy. And then what else? There's a couple of other options in that article for time-lapse videos, but there's some good ones to get going with. Yeah, and there's some information in there about how to, you know, how Facebook is approaching video as well. But they'd be my top picks at the moment.
Okay, love it. And again, guys, like I said before, you find the links with everything Donna and I have talked about, with the tools, with the blog posts, in the show notes. So again, in case you missed something, no worries. Everything is in the show notes. And Donna, thank you very much. You're really giving out so much value. And I like also now you mentioned some apps to create cool videos. You gave some tips on what kind of videos musicians could do, for example, using Hyperlapse. And the last question I have to ask you, obviously, everyone has his or her own preferences, but when it comes to social media, what do you think are the social media musicians should really use to, you know, to share their visual content? Which platforms you think are very, you know, are a perfect fit for visual content?
Sure. Look, I definitely say, I always say put your most important content on your blog or some sort of website. So if you're a musician, make sure that you have, you know, your most important content embedded onto a website. If you do have it on something like YouTube, like at least have those videos shown on your website. And obviously there's video is going to be an important part of this. So over and above your website, probably the platform that still most people are on is Facebook. So I wouldn't ignore it, even though it's harder to get seen on Facebook. I would definitely still post great quality content on Facebook and definitely post some video. The other one that I would definitely consider for musicians would be Instagram, because it is very much a case of, you know, putting a camera in your pocket and taking us with you, and people can really get a sense of who you are, because you can post easy video and easy images. And I think that that's probably one of the most well-suited platforms for musicians. And possibly just consider one or two others, like, you know, obviously Pinterest works really well if you've got good content on your website to start with, but you can definitely check that out as well. It's a good one. It showcases video well, it showcases images well, so it's a good one for music. And funnily enough, Google Plus, I think, is got a lot of a very strong artist community as well. So if you're on there, just join some communities of musicians and artists, and just see how you feel about whether, you know, people are on there that are in your ideal target market. I would say to start out, though, definitely Instagram. I think I'm sure Sue gave some great reasons as well in the other interview, but I think it's just a really easy one for musicians who tend to be out and about, you know, like you are in a lot of different locations generally. If you're working or doing performances, it can be a really great tool to do that with, but they all have their benefits, but that's sort of how I would approach it. I would sort of start with make sure I've got a website of some sort, and then look at maybe Facebook and Instagram, or if you think Google Plus is your, more your thing. It has to be a platform where you enjoy being on it, and you're also noticing that your ideal audience is on it as well. You know, are there jazz fans on there, or are there, you know, rock fans, or whatever your type of music is, you know.
Donna, I really loved your suggestions in terms of social media that you think, you know, work perfectly for people that want to share visual content. So you talked about Facebook. As you said, even though it's becoming more and more difficult to reach people, it's still a very valuable and powerful tool. You talked about Instagram. And again, guys, thejetspotlight.com/episode51. If you want to learn more about Instagram, we talked about that in depth with Sue B. Zimmerman. You talked about also Google Plus, and you really talked about trying to look for communities, become part of communities, or even building communities. And you talked also about others, like, for example, other platforms like Pinterest. I love it. And to wrap up this episode, I want to ask you about create traffic driving images, because I know you have a free video series that I think can be a perfect follow up for this episode. So if the guys want to learn even more about how to create cool visual content and want to see more about it, I think it's perfect to go to createtrafficdrivingimages.com. Can you tell the listeners a couple of things on what they will get out of their video series?
Sure. Well, it's probably one of those typical three-part video series, except I did it a little bit differently. I didn't just sort of make it short. I wanted to give a full training as part of it. So it goes through the first video is about sort of how to create an image strategy. And although it's based around Facebook, you can use it for any platform and you get a handy planner cheat sheet. The second video is myths and mistakes about, you know, creating visual content. So you don't avoid all the things that I've done wrong and everybody else has. And the third video is about the essential tools. So some of the tools we've talked about, I actually go behind the scenes and show you some tricks and how to use them. It's very sort of hands-on. There's lots of examples, and each video goes for about a half an hour, and it is quite visual. So it's not, you know, it's not short, but it's actually very, very, there's lots of takeaways and things that they can learn straight up. So they'll actually learn a lot just from that video series. And then, you know, as a subscriber, then through that, they'll get my weekly newsletter after that. You know, I don't tend to email my subscribers a lot. Like, I try to keep it to one email a week. Occasionally I'll let them know if there's a webinar coming up, but I only really do those three times a year anyway. So there's some coming up in a couple of weeks, and I think they'll be just after this series goes live. So I'll let you know the link. You can always just put it up for a short period until they're on. But the best port of call, if this you know, podcast is staying on the website for a long time, is the three-part video series. And that way they'll get on the newsletter list and they'll get the really cool training.
I love it. And you mentioned some webinars. So guys, in the show notes, you will also find the links to Donna's upcoming webinar, and make sure to sign up for them. They're free. As I said in the beginning, there are lots of fun and you get valuable tips. And same goes for the free video series of createtrafficdrivingimages.com. I can vouch for that because I signed up for that series and I learned a lot. And as Donna said, it's about 30 minutes per video, but it's really 30 minutes, half an hour that can really change the way you create visual content.
Actually, I'll just interrupt you there. Sorry, it's actually been revamped. I forgot to say, I just recently redid the whole thing because we've got new tools, or there's different ways of approaching things. So anyone that's done it before too, it's worth going through it again. It's a little bit different content and just upgraded a bit.
Perfect. I think I know how I'm going to spend the next half an hour.
Yeah, and, let me know.
and you mentioned, you just said to let you know. And guys, make sure to let Donna know what you have learned with this episode, with the free video series. Connect with her on Twitter. She is at Socially Sorted. Connect with her and make sure to let her know and show her what you have learned. So show her your cool quotes or whatever visual content you have created after listening to this episode and watching the free video series. Donna, I want to thank you so very much for being here on the Jazz Spotlight podcast and simply rocking this show.
Thank you very much for having me. It was fun.
And we are back. Donna, thank you so much for being with us on this episode, for telling us more about your musical background as well as for your tips on how to create visual content. And guys, Donna and I have mentioned quite many resources. I want to remind you that you find everything in the show notes at thejazzpotluck.com/episode70, including the link to Donna's upcoming webinar. Next week, she's gonna be hosting a free webinar that goes more in depth about some of the things we've talked about in this episode. So if you really want to become a master at creating this visual content that can really help you engage your fan base, drive traffic, promote your music, you should definitely sign up for the webinar. They are free. If I remember correctly, it's one on Tuesday, one on Wednesday. So you have a couple of choices. Make sure to sign up for the webinar as well as for the free video series, Create Traffic Driving Images, that is also in the show notes, so that you get some more tips on what we have talked about today and some of the tools that we have talked about in this episode with Donna. All right, guys, last thing I want to tell you, like always, a sneak peek of the next episode. On Tuesday, we're going to talk about the art of selling music. So if you have a piece of music, you have an EP in digital form, or you have an album, or maybe you're about to, you know, to be finished with your album, it's almost ready to go, there's going to be plenty of value for you, because I have another great guest who really goes into the world of selling and shares so many great tips that can really help you increase the sales, because we know that sales are still very important for your career. I'm Yanni Lunga, and thank you so much for being with me today. Talk to you back on Tuesday. Have a great weekend.